I've prepared that recording there. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Has everyone got their Bibles this morning? Got to learn to keep your sword with you always, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4 says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come." Everyone say, "fully come." I don't know if that's exactly really good English, but it tells us that the day of Pentecost had fully come. It had been fulfilled. It had fully come. And today is Pentecost Sunday. We celebrate this day, the day when Pentecost was fully come. The Bible says that they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, I want you to notice that before there was a suddenly, before there was a sound of heaven, before there was a rushing mighty wind, before anything else happened, they were with one accord in one place. Everybody say unity. That's important. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled. Everybody say filled. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Second scripture will be on the screen, Luke chapter 11 and verse 9. It says, "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, he will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" And so Jesus says, if you being evil, in comparison to God, we are evil. We care for our kids, but you know we cannot be near as good as God is. "If you then being evil know how to give God good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that," those last two words, "that ask him." Everybody say ask. I want to speak today, this title, Pentecost is for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, Pentecost is for you. Point at somebody, Pentecost is for you. Amen. You may be seated in the house of God. Lord, anoint your word. Hallelujah. Bear with me today. I'm not sick. I just got this cough, and it's not too nice. But, you know, Pentecost, unfortunately, has been relegated to a denomination. In the world today, when people ask you, you will say you're a Christian, but people often have relegated the term Pentecost to a denomination. But Pentecost is not a denomination. It never was a denomination. Pentecost is an experience that we can have. Unfortunately, people have labeled us as that denomination. You know, those people. Everybody say those people. Those people, that denomination of people that believe in the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You know, those people. Those people that believe in speaking in tongues. You know, those people. That denomination. But I want to tell you today that Pentecost is for everybody. When the church was born in the book of Acts, there was only one group of people and they all had the Pentecostal experience. Pentecost is for you. It is for every believer. And so it's not just for those of us who call ourselves Pentecostals. You see, Peter and the disciples never would have thought that somehow in the year 2017 that Christianity would be divided up into Pentecostals and non-Pentecostals, because Pentecost was an experience for everybody. For those of you who may have been from a Catholic background, we should remember that even Mary was in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. And Mary was also filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Bible says she also spoke with other tongues in that upper room. Another important person in the Catholic faith was Peter. Peter also, he's known as the first pope. Even the first pope, Peter, if you want to say the word pope, he was in the upper room, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and the Bible tells us that he was part of those people that all spoke in tongues. I want to tell you that Pentecost is for everybody. It's for you and it's for me. It's for your children, it's for their children, and it's for all that are afar off. Pentecost is for you. So I guess you could say you get frustrated when people take this experience which the New Testament church was birthed in, and they try to segregate it into some sort of denomination. There is only one church, and it is the church empowered by the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Many people, even today, around this city and around this country, people would like to make the Pentecostal experience some sort of treasured relic. Maybe in churches today, they will remember that one-off fluke, you know, the day that the Holy Spirit was poured out. They will remember it fondly, and they will recall the same scriptures, and they will treat it like some sort of antique, some valuable antique that the church once had. But I want to say to this congregation here today that the reality is that the same Jesus who came in power to the upper room, the reality is that the same Jesus who filled his disciples with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, that same Jesus has not left us to our own devices in 2017. That ought to encourage somebody today, that we have not been left to our own devices, but Jesus is still alive and he's still working in his church through the power of the Holy Ghost. And what he did back then, he is still doing today. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Praise Amen. So Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after the crucifixion of Jesus, after the Passover. In September 1987, I was baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's 30 years ago. I was 10 years old. I will never forget the feeling that I had that day. I had been seeking the Holy Spirit for some time, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit on that day in September 1987. I can't remember if it was Father's Day or it was my dad's birthday, but it was something to do with my dad. I think it might have been his birthday on the 27th of September. But I will never forget that day. But more importantly, I don't know where I would be today if it wasn't for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I don't know where I would be if I was just became a Christian and was left to my own devices and trying to live out this life in this dark world in my own strength. I don't know where I would be when temptation came my way when I was at school. You know, it was only through the power of the Holy Spirit that I was able to stand against the flesh and the pull of the flesh. How many people know that the flesh is a powerful thing? Yeah, it'll make you eat things you shouldn't eat. It'll make you say things you shouldn't say. You see, that's why the Bible says that in the flesh there is death, but in the spirit, the spiritual mind, there is life and peace. And so if we want to have any hope of overcoming the power of the flesh and any hope of overcoming temptation and any hope of being able to continue to shine our lights in this world, we've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's not just for Pentecostals, it's for every single one of us. Today is the Pentecost Sunday. So some may say, oh, well, Pastor, why are we talking about Pentecost Sunday? Isn't it Pentecost Sunday every day in a Pentecostal church? Yes, it is Pentecost Sunday every Sunday in a Pentecostal church. But I also want you to note that the Apostle Paul and the other disciples placed a very great significance on the day of Pentecost. That day, 50 days after the Passover, they placed a great significance. Throw up slide number 5 there. During his third missionary journey, Paul, the Bible says in Acts chapter 20, verse 16, it says that he hurried to reach Jerusalem so that he could be there in time for what? Pentecost. It was an important day. And some of you here today, it's Pentecost Sunday. It's a great day. Let's not forget what Pentecost Sunday is. Paul hurried home. He said, I must reach Jerusalem to be there for Pentecost Sunday. And some of you got up this morning and said, I got to be in church. It's Pentecost Sunday. Paul, even in 1 Corinthians, he told the Corinthian church that he planned. He said, I'm going to stay in Ephesus until Pentecost Sunday. until the celebration of Pentecost. So Paul always had Pentecost on his mind. He marked the time with it. It provides some sort of sacred rhythm to his spiritual life. Now that is the New Testament day of Pentecost. But before the coming of Jesus Christ, the feast of Pentecost, everybody say the feast. It was a joyful Jewish celebration, a joyful Jewish festival where they celebrated the wheat harvest. The wheat harvest. Everyone say harvest. 50 days after the first fruits offering. There was the first fruits offering, and then 50 days after, they would celebrate the wheat harvest. On the day of Pentecost, we also know that it commemorated the day that Moses received the Ten Commandments. That was in the Old Testament. And if you study your scriptures, you will know that all the Old Testament events, and they are types and shadows of things that would happen in the New Testament. And so these Old Testament versions of this Pentecostal feast, they were just a foreshadowing. Everyone say a foreshadowing. Or a type of what was going to happen in the New Testament. It was a foreshadowing of the great spiritual ingathering, the great spiritual harvest that would happen and that would be poured out on the disciples and the followers of Jesus. And so when the Holy Spirit was fully come, everybody say fully come. You see, there was a day of Pentecost before the in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, it opens up, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, when it was fulfilled, when all of the types and shadows were fulfilled, when it was fully come this time, that when, as God gave Moses the law, he gave him on tablets of stone. But when the Holy Spirit was poured out in the New Testament, God wrote his laws on our hearts. He wrote his laws. He inscribed the laws not on tables of stone, but he inscribed them on the hearts of men by the Spirit of God. You see, that's why the Holy Spirit would lead and guide us into all truth. That's why the Spirit of God is that inner check when you know you're going to do something wrong. The Holy Spirit convicts you, because when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the law is not just written on tables of stone, but the law becomes written on the flesh of our hearts. We know that when the Ten Commandments were given, 3,000 people, they died because they reached out and touched the sacred mountain. But on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people lived because God's Spirit reached out and touched them. In the Old Testament, 3,000 people died there as Moses got the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. But in the New Testament, 3,000 people were filled with the Holy Ghost. What a beautiful ingathering. What a great harvest. It was heaven's inauguration ceremony for the church. What an amazing inauguration ceremony. People from all over the world had come and gathered into an upper room. They were endued with power from on high. And 3,000 people on that day of Pentecost were converted as Peter preached. Amen. Everybody say praise the Lord. Amen. In our text, Pentecost had always been in the Jewish theology. It had always been there. But this year, the day of Pentecost, we read in our text, was fully come. The Spirit of God, the same Spirit of God which moved on the face of the waters in Genesis 1. The same Spirit of God was now not just moving on the face of the waters in an earth without form and without void, but now the Spirit of God was moving upon the hearts of men, was filling people with the Holy Spirit. You see, not just a theology, but now they were experiencing Pentecost. And that's what Pentecost is. It's not a denomination. You're not Pentecostal because you come to a Pentecostal church. You're Pentecostal because you've had the Pentecostal experience. Now, Pentecost was not just some one-off historical fluke. It was prophesied all through the scriptures. Jeremiah 31 verse 33, it says, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and I will write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." Hebrews 10, 16 and 17 says, it says, "Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us." Everyone say a witness. "For after that he had said before, Hebrews is talking about Jeremiah. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their hearts, and in their minds I will write it. It was the fulfillment of so many prophecies. They were looking forward to that day when Pentecost would be fully come, when it wouldn't just be the law written on tablets of stone, where it would not just be a theological thing, but it would become an experience that people can have in their lives. And so we continue on in Acts chapter 2. Please turn there in your Bibles, Acts chapter 2, verse 12. And so after this outpouring of the Holy Ghost in the upper room, the disciples and those that were in the upper room, they come out onto the streets. After the great powerful prayer meeting, they come out onto the streets, and the Bible says, and they were all amazed. Who was amazed? Those that were gathered around. Can you imagine we spill out onto the streets here and everybody in the neighborhood is amazed? Everybody say amazed. Some were in doubt. Everybody say doubt. That's still about the same experience you get to Pentecost these days. People come in like, wow, never seen anything like it. This is not like a church that I've ever experienced. Let me tell you, we're going back to the original church. When you have a Pentecostal service, it's about going back to the original. And so they were amazed and they were in doubt. Some saying, what meaneth this? What on earth is happening? Others mocking. Everybody say mocking. He said, oh, they're just full of new wine. But Peter stood up with the 11 and he lifted up his voice and he said, you men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you. And listen to me, he said, you listen to me, because you think these people are drunk. These are not drunk as you suppose, because this is just the third hour of the day. But this is that, everybody say, this is that. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. What you are seeing here on the streets of Jerusalem, this joy and this speaking of tongues, this is that which was prophesied by Joel. This is the fulfillment of all the prophecies. This is the day that Pentecost was fully come. And he says, this is that what is prophesied by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass. This is the prophecy. In the last days, saith God, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. You see, they all said, what is this? What is this? And Peter said, this is that which was prophesied by Joel. This is that prophecy coming to pass, that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on flesh. What did Joel say? You can read what Joel said in prophesied in Joel chapter 2 verse 28. He said, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Isaiah prophesied about it at all as well. He said, for his stammering lips in Isaiah 28, for his stammering lips and another tongue will God speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest. This is the rest. You may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. You see, this was when Pentecost was fully come. It was a theological thing. It was prophesied. Everybody was hearing the prophecies, but they were not experiencing it yet. But on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover, they were there. They were in unity. They were in one place. They were in one accord. They had been praying for 10 days. Everybody say 10 days. Some of us, we give up to praying for after 5 minutes. Oh, God, no, nothing happening. You want to experience the power of God, get on your hands and knees and pray. Don't pray when something bad happens. Have a habit of prayer. They prayed for 10 days, and the Holy Spirit was poured out. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts chapter 19, verse 1 to 6, actually. This is how important Pentecost was. Remembering that in Acts chapter 2, Pentecost was fully come. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul is going around preaching by the power of the Holy Spirit. You think about Paul, who was converted. He was a terrorist. A converted terrorist who becomes a preacher of the gospel, who is being persecuted, who has been thrown in jail. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, he continues to preach. He continues to see people saved. And he knows the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit. He knows the importance that it's not just enough to just be a believer. But if you're just a believer, you can be empowered with the Holy Spirit. And so he goes, Apollos was at Corinth. And Paul, having passed through the upper coasts of Ephesus, he came at that place and he found some disciples. Does anyone know what a disciple is? A follower of Jesus. He found some followers of Jesus. He found some Christians. And so he goes into that home friendship group meeting, I imagine, as they were gathered in the house. They were probably reading the word, maybe rejoicing and singing praises. He goes into the house where they were gathering and he found some disciples. He found some believers. He found some Christians. And the first thing that we see that Paul says, he said unto them, he goes, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? You see, Paul had had this experience. Paul had had this experience and he knew what it was like to be empowered with the Holy Spirit. And he says to them, he says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? He says, there's more than just being a believer. But there's more than just a theological understanding of Pentecost. But you can experience it for yourself. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? You see, the story of our family and how we came into Pentecost goes right back to this question, Dad. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Because my dad's foster father, who is still alive, he was on a train going to work one day. He was a believer. They were good believers. They were good Christians. And he was sitting in the train going into the Melbourne city to work, and he was reading his Bible. And a preacher came up to him and sat next to him and he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And you know what? My grandfather said, I hadn't even heard of such a thing. I read it in the Bible, but can I receive it? And you know, they were filled with the Spirit, both my grandmother and my grandfather. At that time, my dad was against Pentecost. He thought everybody in Pentecost had lost their mind. But he went to a Pentecostal service and he also got filled with the Holy Ghost. It all started when somebody asked my grandfather, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And you know what? My grandfather was hungry for the things of God. And when God finds a hungry heart, he ain't going to leave you dissatisfied. He found a hungry heart on a train going into the city of Melbourne. He found a hungry heart. And then my dad became a Pentecostal preacher. Now I'm preaching this gospel in a Pentecostal church because somebody asked my granddad, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? That's the same question I ask you today. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? If you've never heard such a thing, these people had neither. But they began to get hungry for the things of God. And if you get hungry, the Bible says, if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be filled. God can fill you. I've heard of people being filled with the Holy Ghost in all sorts of places, in their private prayer meeting, in the worship service, at the altar of the church, whatever it is. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. He goes, whoa, I wonder if these people have been baptized. He says, well, how have you been baptized? And they said, well, we got baptized by John. That was before Jesus died, all right? And he said, and then said Paul, John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him who should come after him, that is on Jesus Christ. He said, there's someone greater coming. You ought to believe on him. His name is Jesus Christ. And when they heard this, what happened? They were rebaptized in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then when they come up out of the waters, Paul goes, hey, you've been baptized. Your sins have been washed away. And look, he laid his hands upon them and the Holy Ghost came on them and they were spake with tongues and they prophesied. You see, it all started with a question. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Why do I need the Holy Spirit, Pastor? Well, I already told you, He gives you power over a carnal mind. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 says, a carnal mind is enmity with God. It is death. You know, if we're left to our flesh, if left to our own devices, we are going to find a place of death and destruction. So He gives us power over the carnal mind. It also means that we possess, when we are filled with the Spirit, that we possess the same Spirit which raised Jesus from the dead. Number three, we need to have the Holy Ghost so we can be guided into all truth. The Holy Spirit guides you into truth. When you're filled with the Spirit and you begin to read the Word, it becomes alive to you. How many people can testify to that? That when you were filled with the Spirit, there came a deep understanding of the Scriptures as God, through the Holy Spirit, began to speak to us through His Word. It empowers us to live a life of temptation over sin. The Bible also says it seals us to the day that Jesus comes back. I ask you today, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? You see, hunger is such an important thing. Hunger, spiritual hunger. I want you to turn, as we're almost ready to close now, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. And it's going to be on the screen. Not the whole thing, so turn there in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. You see, in the corporate world, in business, we do anything to get ahead. We get hungry. When it comes to money, we want that promotion. We want that extra work. We've got a hunger to pursue things and get ahead. But when it comes to the things of God, sometimes we become so lackadaisical. Maybe that's why Paul was led to go to Ephesus and say, hey, have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? You're hungry for that. And so we need to have a holy hunger. And I pray that in this place today, that what has been preached here today and what we feel in this worship service, that it will give you a holy hunger for more of God. 2 Kings 4, verse 1 to 7. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha. She cried out to Elisha. She said, my husband is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. He feared the Lord. And now the creditor is come. We haven't been able to pay our bills. The creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be slaves. I haven't been able to pay my bills. And now the creditor's come to take my sons away. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Oh, did Elisha already know what she needed? Yes, of course Elisha knew what she needed. And you know, God knows what you need as well. God knows. But it's not enough to just say, well, when you pray, well, God, you know what I need. Amen. No, God wants to see some holy hunger. God wants us to bring our requests and our petitions to Him. You see, God does know everything, but God wants to know, do you have a hungry heart? God is a gentleman. He won't move unless you invite Him to move in your life. You can come to church as much as you want, sit here and say, well, God, you know what I need. But until God finds a hungry heart, He cannot fill it. Until God finds somebody who's thirsty. And so Elisha checks. He says, woman, what do you want? Speak it out what you want. What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what have you got in your house? And she said, well, thy handmaid hath not got anything in the house. Everybody say hungry. I got a pot of oil, a small pot of oil. And he said, go borrow thee vessels. Go and get some containers. Go get some vessels abroad of thy neighbors. Go out into the suburbs. Go to all the houses around you. Go and get some vessels. Get some empty vessels. Don't just get a few. He says, borrow not a few. Get as many as you can. Bring as many empty vessels as you can. And when thou art come in, you shall shut the door behind you and upon thy sons, and you shall pour out all those vessels and set aside that which is full. So when you come in, pour out the vessels. So she went from him, and she shut the door upon her and upon her sons, and she brought the vessels to her, and she began to pour out. She poured out. She had one pot of oil, and she began to pour it out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, so she's pouring out the one little pot of oil into the first vessel and it fills up. And she says, hey, son, I don't know what his name was, but hey, son, bring me another vessel. And he said unto her, so he brings all the vessels. They were all full. When the vessels were full, she said unto her son, go get another one. They're all full. Everything that we could get from the neighborhood, all the vessels are full of oil. You know, oil speaks of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. All the vessels were full of oil. There is not another vessel. And the oil stayed. And then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, now sell the oil. Go pay your debts and live thou and thy children of the rest. You can live off the rest. You see, I've read that intriguing scripture to show you the importance of hunger, to show you the importance of emptiness. It was not some small desire. The scripture is speaking about desperation. Let your petitions, let your hunger be made known unto God. You see, we've made hunger lose its meaning. We've made hunger lose its meaning. If we are 30 minutes late for dinner, men, we'd say to our wife, I'm hungry. You're not hungry. Not at all. In this day and age, we've made hunger lose its meaning. But this woman wanted it so bad, the Bible says that she cried out. She let her voice be heard. And Elisha says, I want you to go to your neighbors, get some vessels, get some clay pots, get some cooking pots, get as much as you can, but make sure they're empty. Make sure they're empty. You see, this is it. The amount of your emptiness, the amount of your emptiness will determine the amount of your filling. God is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. God will fill empty vessels. Yet God cannot fill somebody who says, you know what, God, I'm fine. I got it all under control. But when you come to Him with your emptiness, when you come to Him with your repentant heart, when you come to Him and say, God, I don't have the strength to keep going on. I don't have the strength to keep fighting against my flesh. Oh, God, I'm nothing but an empty vessel. God says, I'm going to fill you up. And the amount of our filling is determined by our emptiness before Him. God cannot fill somebody who is proud with the Holy Spirit, because you got to be empty before Him. The Bible teaches us that hunger, everybody say hunger, is the only thing that has the ability to predetermine how much of God you will receive. He, if you are hungry, if you are empty, He will just keep pouring out into your life. And so God's instruction to this anonymous woman was go and collect all the emptiness that you can find. Go and get all the emptiness that you can find. Go to everybody's house and I will fill it. The amount of your emptiness, lady, will determine the amount of your filling. And so many times, one of the biggest problems and one of the biggest hindrances of people being filled with the Holy Spirit is that they are full of things of this world. You come to church and you've been snacking on the world all week. Snacking. Anybody knows? I learned from a young age. My mom always told me that snacking will ruin your appetite. And there's nothing worse than when you've been snacking all day and you come to the table to eat dinner and mom makes you eat it all. Because you ought to eat it all. You should have eaten before. Now you're going to eat it all. And you know that feeling that you have when you've been snacking and you're sitting there and you're like, oh, I can't eat it. It's good food, Mum, but oh, I'm full. And sometimes that's what it's like with the things of God. We're out in the world snacking and tasting of the things of the world. We come into church, into the house of God. The Word of God is preached. Yeah, it's good stuff, but we're already full. You know, pizza's good, but after you had 10 pieces, that last bit, oh, no. Sometimes that's what happens in the spiritual. Because we've filled our lives up with the things of this world, that even the spiritual things make us begin to feel nauseous. I tell you today that just like this woman was told to go and collect all the emptiness, that when you bring your emptiness to God, He can fill you up. And so is somebody here desperate for God? Is somebody here willing to cry out to God? You see, your hunger will take you places in God that nothing else can. You can't say, God cannot say no to a hungry heart. God cannot say no to a hungry heart. You see, even on the Ark of the Covenant, the Bible says that the cherubims faced each other on the ark. And God comes and fills the empty place between the cherubims. The empty. Everyone say empty. You see, when you're hungry, emptiness breaks the formality. Emptiness brings a desperation. Sometimes I tell you today, as you leave this place today, let there be a hunger in your heart like never before. Sometimes you've got to get on your hands and get on your knees and start to get a hold of God. Some of us have got to pray through again and start getting a hold of God and saying, God, I'm sick of trying to do this in my own strength. I need your spirit to empower me. I need more of you, God. And God says, you want more of me? Then bring your emptiness to me. Bring your unsatisfied, you're not satisfied with the things of this world. When you bring it to me, I'll fill you up. Because hunger breaks formality. Sometimes you got to let go and worship God with all of your heart. Everybody say, all of my heart. Sometimes you got to get serious with God, not just singing the lyrics of a song and patty cake for Jesus. No, get a hold of God and say, God, I'm hungry for more of you. And when God finds a hungry heart, God's going to fill you up. Go and bring your emptiness to God. Go and find some empty vessels, because your emptiness is going to determine how much you get of God in your life. Let's all stand in this place today. Today is Pentecost Sunday. The scripture says in Hebrews, I think it's one of the last slides there, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And let's read that last little bit together. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. As I close, I want to tell you a story. One of the greatest outpourings of the Holy Spirit that I've seen in my ministry was in a town on the island of Java, one of the main islands of Indonesia. We're in a very poor area in Indonesia. Everybody in the church, they had rice farms, paddy fields. We went into that church, and that night as we went in there, there was probably about 1,000 people in this big, long building. That was good. But right next door was a massive mosque, right next door. And us Christians, we didn't have a very loud sound system. We're worshiping God, doing the best we can to drown it out, but the prayers from the mosque just kept going on. And it doesn't sound very nice. Anyone ever been to a Muslim country, you hear those noises, that sound. And so after a great worship service, we were worshiping God, and everybody was getting into the worship service. I get up to preach, and all that I can hear is that mosque. I'm preaching the best I can. I'm expecting something to come through the door any moment. Just preaching, trying to out-preach the mosque. I've tried to out-preach a storm before, haven't I, Dad? My dad had it on a video. He's laughing as the video's shaking as I'm trying to out-preach a storm on a tin roof. And at the end of the service, I thought, oh, God, Lord, your word has gone forth. God, you said that your word will not return void. And so while the prayers continued, the crowd came all the way to the altar. I said, musicians, play something. Let's lift the spirit in this place a little bit. That we feel the presence of God somehow. People came. We began to pray to instruct them. They wanted to receive the Holy Spirit. There's about 400 people all lined around the altar. The music's going. We're worshiping God. People are softening their hearts before God. And then suddenly everything goes out. Poof. The power is gone. Music's gone. It's pitch black. And back it was early 2000s. I think some people would have had lights. Some people had cigarette lighters, you know, flick them on, you know. And then the next thing you hear, boom, the generator starts up on the mosque. And they start again. I'm like, God, I can't even see a thing to even get out of this place. I'm here. There's 400 people all surrounded. There's 600 people back there. There's a door at the back. What are we going to do? You know, just those people began to get hungry. They began to realize that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we were wrestling against principalities and powers. And without any instruction, because there was no way I could have said anything in that big room, people just began to lift up their voice and to praise God with a desperate heart. They began to shout. They realized that we were in a spiritual battle, and they let their hunger be heard. And before I know it, within 2 minutes, they're just praising God at the top of their voice. And the next thing you know, the power of God literally literally just went boom in that room. And every single person was filled with the Holy Ghost at that altar, speaking in other tongues. Every single person. I was with Pastor Jacob. I had Pastor Jacob Caltabiano. I said, come, let's start praying. As I went to go lay hands on people, everybody's filled with the Holy Ghost. He's looking at me. He goes, they're all filled. Yes, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. But it came out of a desperation and a hunger for God. Yeah, the lights come back on. We got the victory that night. People were filled with the Holy Ghost. But let me tell you, it's a hunger and a thirst that you've got to have inside your heart. Bishop Downs preached in PNG. One of his first messages ever he preached overseas. Ever. Big conference. He read the same scripture we just read. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. His first point in his message was to explain what diligent meant. In PNG, he said to seek the Lord diligently means to seek him in a rush. Boom. Everybody started running for the altar to seek God. And as they were running, God was filling them with the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you that when you bring your emptiness to God, God can fill you with the Spirit. Let's lift our hands all across this place as we worship God. Some of us need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit today. If you want to come to this altar and seek God, don't come and kneel, come and stand and believe that God can fill you this morning. Hallelujah, we love you, Jesus. Oh, breathe on me, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Come on, let His Spirit fall in this place. Bring your emptiness to Him. Oh God, oh God, we need more of you, God. Oh.